Have you ever seen those memes where you have the doctor and the patient and the doctor is looking down at a piece of paper and says, "Your labs look great. You're in perfect health." And then the patient sitting on the table with this rash from head to toe, hair's all frazzled and looks sick. In today's episode, we're going to talk about what you need to know about telling your medical provider the right things in order to get the right diagnosis. But more than that, how you need to be able to check in with yourself to know what is going on in your body so you're able to provide the information to that medical provider. As always, I hope this is great. Let's go to the show.
Welcome to Think Beyond the Drink. This podcast is for women who want to unravel their relationship with alcohol and other vices without labels, stigma, or judgment. We focus on things that give us energy, not take from it. This is for women who want to feel the aliveness and vitality in their life again, who want deep, intimate connections and a purpose-driven life.
Do you know the number one most important part about getting the correct diagnosis from your medical provider? It's not your labs. It's not your physical exam. It's your history. It is what you provide to the medical provider about your illness or ailment or whatever is going on within your body. If we aren't attuned with our bodies, then we can't give the correct information for the provider to piece together. What happens in a medical visit is we provide information to the medical provider about what is going on within our bodies, and then the medical provider creates a differential diagnosis. And what a differential diagnosis is, it's a list of possible diagnoses that fit your symptoms. And then after that is done, and we have a list of these diagnoses, then we can do a physical exam, or we can run labs to help eliminate or hone in on what is the most likely cause. And then once that is figured out and we have a diagnosis, then we can look at what the root cause is of that particular illness. But if you don't know what's going on within your body and you can't provide that history to your medical provider, it's like going into a restaurant and the chef is going to make you your favorite dish. And then when the chef asks, "What's your favorite dish? What's in it?" And you say, "I don't know, cheese and I think some sauce and a carb." And then she asks, "Well, I mean, is the cheese melted or is it cold? Is the sauce creamy or is it broth-based? Is the carb like a long pasta or like is it orzo?" And you just kind of shrug, "I don't know." Then there's like what, a 99.9% chance, maybe even a 100% chance you're not going to get your favorite dish, and you're still going to get charged for it, even if the chef creates a dish that is not what you wanted. Just like when you go into the doctor's office and the diagnosis is off, you're still going to get charged for it. Now, you may think that I'm totally exaggerating here, and this might not be you. You might be really great at giving your symptomology history, and I will talk a little bit more about that in a second. But I am just going to let you know that lift the curtain of an exam room visit and let you know that so often people do not remember. They don't remember when something started. They don't remember what it, like if it's a rash, they don't remember what it looked like. If it's a bellyache, they don't remember what they had eaten that day or if somebody else had been sick. It's really hard to actually remember when things began. And that's typically because we don't expect them to progress and last for a long time. So I totally get it. And I'm actually not an amazing patient either. I feel like that I'm a deer in headlights every single time my medical provider asks me for my last known period. I did some math and I've had like 420 periods minus pregnancies. And I'm still shocked every single month when my period happens. But anyway, I digress. Okay, so let's say that you actually are really good at noticing every ache and pain in your body and every sensation in your body. Then sometimes that can be harmful as well. If we're always, you know, overdiagnosing ourselves and going into Dr. Google and trying to figure out what our symptoms mean, then that also can create this harm because wherever our attention goes, it grows. So if that's you, if you really do are acutely aware of every little ache and pain and bug bite, then I offer you this opportunity to just, you know, be curious about it. Don't ignore it. Maybe make note of it on your calendar and then see if you can move your attention to something else and not worry about it. Because again, like I just mentioned, if we worry about something and we're worried that this is going to increase, the pain's going to worsen, or that it's the C word or something else horrible is going to happen, then chances are that that could possibly be the end result. So what I suggest you do instead, if that is you, is make note and then just say, I can look at this again tomorrow. I can look at it again, check in with my body in 3 or 4 days to see if anything's changed. And now I'm not talking about like if you're having an excruciating pain or something. Of course, that is more of your body telling you that it's a, you know, the alarm systems are going off. But I'm not really giving you medical advice here. I really just want to empower you. I want you to have your personal power back when you are going to your medical provider or when you are checking something out online and really kind of differentiating between, is it my body adjusting? Because our bodies are really fabulous, fantastic miracle workers, and they are always healing. Our bodies are constantly fighting viruses. Our bodies are constantly creating new healthier cells and killing off sick cells. Our bodies are doing its work. And that means that we're going to feel these kind of, you know, awkward sensations in our body periodically. So we need to figure out when to be aware and when something is just our body going back into homeostasis, going back into its natural balance, because it's always trying. It never hits the balance line, right? It's always above or below, always adjusting, always working to get us to our most fine-tuned state. So where is this fine line then? The fine line is knowing your body. And like I mentioned, it's making note if things change. And if you do have something that appears in your body, asking yourself, like, what could this be telling you? So if you do are feeling a little tension within your shoulders, or maybe you have a headache, then asking, you know, is this telling me that I need more sleep? Do I need to decrease my stress? Do I need to move my body more? Do I need to drink less? Do I need to get more sun, more rest? Do I need a vacation? You know, what could my abdominal symptoms be telling me? What could my acid reflux be telling me? Do I need to drink less? Do I need to eat different food? Do I need to create a journal for the next month and really notate, what have I eaten? What have I drank? How have I been sleeping? What's my stress level like? And see if any of those make your abdominal pain better or worse. This is this idea of really getting to know ourselves intimately. And it's a lot harder to get to know our body and what our body is telling us when we drink 2+ drinks 3 or more times a week. Because then our body is spending so much time not sleeping well and trying to recuperate from that, but it's spending so much time eliminating the toxin from our bodies that it's really hard for us to know if it's our bodies that are waking us up at 3 a.m. because maybe we're in perimenopause and our hormones are needing a little bit of adjustment, or we're needing to decrease stress, or is it the alcohol that's wearing off and our eyes are popping open? If you want to go back to the way alcohol disrupts our sleep, I think that was in episode, I don't know, 10 or 11, but go check that out if you want more details about that. But it's really, it makes it a little bit more difficult to walk this fine line. We're trying to see if there's something that our body is telling us versus is it just, you know, alcohol, poor sleep that is causing us to feel a certain way. I remember when I was around, it was like 6 months without alcohol, I started getting these really fierce menstrual cramps and these intense migraine headaches. When I was drinking, and again, I didn't drink every night, but I drank about 3 to 4 times a week, and I would take ibuprofen because I was so sensitive to hangovers. I hated them. So I was always kind of on this anti-inflammatory medication. So who knows if I were having, you know, cramping, or I was feeling more fatigued during my periods, or I was having these headaches because I was drinking so periodically and taking ibuprofen so periodically. I don't know if that was something that had been happening for a while or not. But when I had quit drinking for 6 months, I started getting these really fierce headaches and cramping and heavier bleeding. And I was able to, first off, recognize that something was going on in my body. And I went to my Western medicine provider. They weren't 100% sure what was happening. They just wanted me to put me on birth control to regulate my menstrual cycles and help with my periods. I didn't feel like that was really the root cause of what was happening. And so I went and saw my acupuncturist, which really I used her as my primary care provider. And she adjusted my hormones. And actually, we went on this decreasing my stress. So helping with my elevation in cortisol, which after several months of doing that, so from when I first noticed the symptoms until complete cessation of heavy menstrual cycles and migraines, it was about 6 months after that. And I don't know if I would have recognized that if I were still in my heavier drinking patterns that I had been for so many years. And here's the deal too, is that it's not just drinking that covers up some of our symptoms or possible symptoms of perimenopause or any other type of medical illness. Also, what numbs us is overdoing, overworking, overperforming, perfectionism, even like working out too much or workaholism piece, numb us out from our bodies too. That checks us out from really feeling into what our body is wanting and telling ourselves. And this isn't our fault because society has been set up for the past like 1,000 years for it to be more of this hustle and drive and push through and work hard, more of this masculine side of doing things. And I know for me, when I was working in that really high drive, hybrid productivity, high hustle lifestyle, then in the evenings, drinking was my way to really shut that off to where I could feel like I could finally relax. And things are a change in. We're definitely moving more in the direction of balancing more of this masculine feminine aspect. And I'm going to have a woman come on and do an interview about really this feminine aspect of really working with our menstrual cycles, which is so interesting. And she actually has some theories about when we're in menopause as well and how we can work in the soul cycle when we're in menopause. So I'm really excited about that. I'll let you know soon when that's coming about. But what's been really going on, and that's been a disservice to women, is that we are so outside of our natural flow of life when we're working in this 9-to-5 masculine productivity space. When in reality, when we're more in this feminine aspect, we're more in this flow where, of course, we get shit done. I mean, we're women. Of course we do. But we do so in a way that's less force. We don't push our way through when we need to sit back a little bit, when we want to just, you know, take a second and breathe it, you know, take a couple of breaths and really get that next download of inspiration to continue working. Pushing away from the desk and going and having some of our social rounds where we talk to our coworkers and things can actually really give us a lot more of the energy to get back and focused and work. Or going for a walk throughout the day is just so great for us to really get back into our bodies out of our heads. It's less of this, you know, mental work, and it's more of this what flows naturally through us. Anyway, so it's getting back to this really like the biological men and biological women both need both this masculine and feminine aspects of ourselves to really balance ourselves more out. I mean, I think that most of us now think that it's ridiculous that we used to tell our boys not to cry, which is completely absurd. Crying is just this natural way that we can regulate our nervous system, that we can feel more balanced and soothed. And we were telling our boys for so long not to cry. And that's why we have these men that we have today. Overworking and overdoing and overperforming and all of that can really take us out of our bodies as well. And again, you know, what we're doing is we're popping pills and gummies and, you know, drinking wine and doing whatever to slow down. But really, that isn't really connecting with what we really want. So even though I don't think that 100% abstinent from alcohol is necessary for most people, I do think that an extended period of time without alcohol can really help us tap into our bodies. And if we're given the right tools, which I do in my programs, but also through this, you know, podcast, which is free, I hope to always be giving you these tools that you can use to really be able to, you know, tap into yourself a little bit more. Because my whole goal here is to give you more power within yourself to make these shifts within. But if we're able to implement some tools where we just don't trade our nightly wine for something else that distracts us and takes us out of our bodies, then this will help our overall spiritual, mental, physical self. And when we're able to do that, we're able to have this massive ripple effect on the rest of the people in our lives. And now maybe alcohol isn't your thing, and maybe there's something else that really takes you out of your body. Being aware of what that is the first step. And asking yourself, what could this be teaching me? What could my overdrinking, overdoing, overperforming, numbing out of my body be telling me about what different changes I need in my life? Because for far too long, what I've noticed is that usually it means that something's out of alignment with our lives. That's why I talk about that it's really, I don't feel like it's necessary for people to be 100% abstinent for the rest of their lives, not for the majority of people. Because typically, there are periods of our lives where we overdrink because we are unhappy, where we are out of alignment, where something just isn't right. And so if we can remove alcohol, that gives us this opportunity to really see, allow ourselves to see what isn't working in our lives. And it could typically give us this courage to change what we see isn't working in our lives. And I know it's a lot more easier said than done, removing alcohol from your life, even if it's for 100 days, because it's everywhere. More than likely, your friend group drinks. More than likely, you go to a school function or work function and there's alcohol involved. It's everywhere. And I totally get that. And so receiving support from a person who's been exactly where you are, I think is so important. And like I mentioned, to be given tools to really help to where it's not about not drinking. It's about what else you could be receiving from the period of time where you're choosing sparkling water instead of wine, where you're choosing sleep instead of staying up and binge watching with your bottle of wine. It's what else is there in the world and not really receiving a tailored approach to what works best in your life. So always reach out to me if that sounds like something that's interesting to you. And I am here for you. Okay. And as always, let me know if you have any questions and where you are. I think that I mentioned in my last episode that this is going to be more of a perimenopausal approach. Although, you know, I'm just flowing with it and going with whatever feels kind of the best with my rough draft that I have. So I think that's what we'll do. Okay, see you then. On today's episode, we wrapped up about how important it is to know our bodies in order to tell our medical providers exactly what is going on to get the appropriate diagnosis in order to get to the root cause. Ultimately, that's what we're all after. In next week's episode, we're going to talk about the similarities between perimenopause and a hangover.
The world needs the vibrance and wisdom of a woman's intuition to help heal the world. When we learn to trust ourselves through leaning into and through discomfort, we learn to trust ourselves, and in that space is our power and clarity.